and welcome to episode 4 of the XYZ Machine Tools podcast. If you've watched any of our previous episodes, a warm welcome back. We hope today you're going to find it enlightening what we talk about. If you're a new subscriber or a new viewer to us, then welcome to our podcast. If you've not listened or watched before, then we talk about all things XYZ and other things as well in the engineering industry. It's not just all about machine tools, you'll be pleased to know. So if you've watched before and you've liked what we've done, please give us a like or subscribe to the podcast so it comes straight to your inbox. And of course, you have the choice of either just listening to us or you can watch us on our YouTube channel so you can actually see our ugly mugs here talking about XYZ machine tools and other things as well. Today, I've got a very special guest joining us, Peter Griffiths. Peter is our service manager here at XYZ. So welcome to the podcast, Peter. It's great to have you with us. And so I think, first of all, for the viewers and listeners, what we should do is get Peter to tell us all about what he does here at XYZ. So fire away, Peter. What do you do here at XYZ?
Hi, Mike. Thanks very much. So I am the service manager here at XYZ, and I head up the whole of the service team, which includes our team that we have here in Devon. We have the technical team, which are on the phones to customers, helping and advising customers throughout the day on any queries, any problems, any concerns that they have on the machines. We can also advise them on any technical information that they require for maintaining their machine themselves. Also, we have an admin team and a scheduling team as well.
Okay, so when you talk about helping customers out on the phone, do the guys in this office here, in the aftercare office, if you want for a better description, do they have specialist areas or does everybody overlap and do everything?
Yeah, they do have specialist areas. We have a Siemens specialist, a Prototrack specialist, a programming specialist, and also a parts specialist. So we can advise customers on all those areas.
Okay. And I know in there, if you've watched any of the videos that we do about the general business, we've got lovely big screens on there with maps on showing where the engineers are. So I presume that helps the ladies that do the scheduling of the engineers to maximise the utility of the guys we've got out on the road.
Exactly. That's exactly the reason why we have them. So the maps and the all the information that we have on the big screens is for everyone's information, and it helps us plan and coordinate the routes that the engineers will take, and also helps various other members of staff around the service department to understand exactly where those engineers are on the day, whether or not we need to get into a customer and help them in a more urgent manner if we need to. So if there's someone local and a customer is on the phone to us with an issue, then we can get in there as soon as possible.
Okay. So it sounds like we're great at supporting customers once they've had a machine purchase from us in the long term. One of the things that I think is really exciting here at XYZ at the moment is a project that you've been heading up, because your experience of outside of the machine tool world, if you like, has enabled you to bring something to XYZ's party. And that is a new bit of software that people will be able to use, which is the customer portal. Now, I've had a brief look at this, and it looks a really great way for people to be able to get in contact with us. So tell us a little bit about this new customer portal that's just been launched.
Okay, so it was identified that we have customers that are trying to get hold of us over the phones, through emails, and they're consistently trying to contact us if they need that information. Now, we only have, obviously, a limited amount of people that can help, and I think that's probably normal. So we identified that we wanted the customers to be able to have a more instant chat with us, and also the information available at their fingertips. So we have come up and designed our own XYZ customer portal, where a customer can log on, they can raise a case with us, which will instantly come through to the tech team here. We also have the chat facility on the portal. So if a customer has an operator at the machine and they have a problem with it, they can instantly log on either on a tablet or a mobile device rather than necessarily a computer. And we can advise them over the chat facility. They can log the call or the case. We can get back to them. We can also get some information. We can get some screenshots and videos. All the information is then available at their fingertips. So the idea of it is that they can log on at any point. Also, the benefit of the portal is that it allows the customer to understand the journey that they're on with XYZ. So once they raise a case with us, they will then the case will then proceed through. Can also, if it can't be fixed over the phone or helpful with our tech advisors, then we may need to get one of our engineers in. So the whole process of arranging parts to be sent, arranging the engineer to be scheduled, that can all be done through the portal now. So the customer's got all of the timeline of when the engineer is going to turn up and the whole journey from start to finish. So that's available at their disposal, and anyone within the business is available to then view that. So
it sounds like there's a lot of work gone into this customer portal then, Peter, from what you've described there. And we have got it out at some customers already, haven't we? It's not we have trialed it. We're not just putting everybody in as guinea pigs here. So we have trialed it, and it's been working pretty well from what I'm led to believe. Yeah. So I think we live in a planet where everybody wants instantaneous reaction, don't they? Okay. And it's nice to see that we've done something here at XYZ where we've looked at potentially a bottleneck in getting hold of people you need to speak to. And the portal is going to speed that process up. And interesting that you talk there that a lot of the problems that customers have, we can fix remotely by not actually sending a service engineer. It might be a bit of an odd question, this, but have you got any idea of percentages of how many problems we fix without an engineer actually having to come and visit?
Yeah, we actually, on average, we normally solve about 40% of our queries over the phone.
That's without, quite a large percentage.
It is, without an engineer going on site. We do spend an awful lot of time, and it is one of our big things to try and actually fix the machines over the phone, if we can. There may be, these machines are very complex. These machines are extremely complex, and not every operator is going to know the ins and outs of how to fix it. They may have, you know, a message come up on the screen that they don't understand, you know, and we're not expecting them to understand that. So that's why we spend a lot of time training our technical team here and on the road for these machines and these specialities, so that we can then help the customers as much as possible.
The bottleneck
side of things is something that we did identify.
Yeah.
And we were finding what we called a telephone tennis between the customer into us. One of the advisors will be on the phone to another customer. We try and call the customer back and they're busy or on the machine or working hard. So this gives us the ability that they can carry on working.
Yeah.
They've got it instantly to their phone, like I say, or their tablet, or their laptop if they want. And they can respond to us effectively on there.
So if a customer's got one of our machines and they want to start taking advantage of the portal, how easy is it for them to get on the portal? Do they have to register with us, or how does the process work?
Yeah, effectively. Like I say, we're in the trial aspects at the moment with the portal, which is going very, very well. We've had some great feedback. It seems to be working well with not just the operators that are operating the machine, but also the owners of some businesses and the management teams as well. They have full a visibility of where the machines are at in terms of a repair process. So they can then plan and schedule their machines and their work accordingly as to when that operator is there. So if the customer would like to register for the portal, then they can contact us at XYZ, either by giving us a call or on our service at XYZ Machine Tools, and we can get them registered straight away for that.
Okay. And from what I've seen and what I've heard, I think the benefits are massive for customers to get a quicker response, get the machine running, get it cutting material again as fast as possible. And I just want to just pick up on something you just mentioned a moment ago about the guys on the road. We do have a number of service guys out on the road. How many guys have we got out on the road at the moment?
So we've currently got 14 engineers, field-based engineers on the road, and that is spread across the country. From Newcastle down to here in Devon, all the way across to Cambridge. So we cover the country. We've got them strategically placed as much as possible to our certain areas that we have more common amount of work. But also we can then accommodate our engineers into various more rural places, shall we say. Mm. So we have a team of 14 engineers across the road.
And I know I recently did a little bit of a video for your department about giving people confidence in investing in an XYZ machine and the backup that they get. And of course, all the guys have got vans with fully stocked items in. The most common items that we see break down on a machine, having done a lot of analysis on that, the guys have got all that kit in the van. So I presume that makes us very efficient when we go and do an annual service or a breakdown.
Yeah, we certainly do attempt to. It is a very difficult, as you say, analysis to do on machines and the parts that break down and the parts that will need to be replaced.
Mm.
It's very, very difficult. We do try our best. There are certain parts that we don't stock, and we do have to then send parts out to customers. But we do an awful lot of research just to try and find out what our top most 100 parts that we sell across the website, so what customers are after as well. Mm. So we can have those available on site at the customers if need be.
Yeah, and I obviously the van is only of a limited size, and also there's a restriction on size of parts and all this sort of thing. So, but I think the system that we have here, that, you know, when we identify we need a part, your department in here tell the stores department, and if the order's placed to them guys by 3 o'clock in the afternoon, we can get it for a next day delivery, can't we? So
yeah, that's exactly right. And part of the technical team here at XYZ, part of their diagnosis and their triaging of problems is to identify when and only parts are required. Sometimes that can be extremely difficult because you are surmising, you are estimating what could potentially have gone wrong just by a message on the screen or what a customer is describing. And also that's one of the benefits of the portal, the fact that we can introduce some pictures, some videos of what the customer is actually seeing. So we will then try our very best to preempt what parts may be required. And again, we may turn up on site and there may be a slightly different issue that we're not aware of. But yeah, quite often we will send parts out as a provisional thought that there may be an issue with that. Mm. So we want the customers to have those on site for them available, that if they are required, and we can fix that first time.
I would imagine for you coming into XYZ from a slightly different arena to the machine tool world, you were an automotive type guy.
I was.
You've seen a massive change. This is more on a personal thing. You've seen a massive change in the way you have to operate, in that I would imagine in the automotive industry, everybody brings their car to you for work, and you're now dealing with something that's remote to here. So from a personal side, I bet that's a massive change for you then.
Yes, it is. So that is one of the biggest changes that I've encountered. In all honesty, the service department side of things is very similar. Service is service, customer service is customer service. Some of my previous employment has been with customers' vehicles that are their work vans as well. So that's very similar in terms of the machines. Without that machine, they can't work. Mm. Very similar to our customers. But yeah, the remote side of things is very difficult, where we go to the customers rather than the customers come to us.
Different challenges, I think.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. Yeah. Exactly, yeah. Yeah.
And we were talking there about the guys on the road, because that's the way we have to operate here. The team of 14 guys at the moment, we've sold over 26,000 machines in our 41 years of business here. So the amount of equipment out there that we have to look after is ever growing still. So are you constantly trying to enlarge the team, if that's the right word, to give more coverage over the country?
Very much so, very much so. So it's a fine balance of having enough engineers to cope with our customers. As you say, we sold an awful lot of machines. There's an awful lot of machines still out there that are still working, even dating back to 20-year-old machines that we're still looking after and we're still servicing on a regular basis. So yeah, in terms of the amount of staff and engineers that we have, we're always looking for engineers, always looking. And that's not a requirement that we are looking for and we can't cope with the amount. But the basis of around us always looking is that we want to try and attract the best people in from our industry. We've recently taken on a few engineers that are new to the industry, and we're trying to grow our own. It is an industry that over the years has maybe suffered with new, fresh people coming into it. And we've found the same. So we're trying to attract and incorporate various different aspects. Like myself, I'm not from this industry, but you can accommodate it and adapt as to there. So we spend an awful lot of time on training these new engineers, but always looking for any engineers out there that are willing to invest and come over to us and have the training and the knowledge base that we have in order to help our customers out.
So if there's anybody out there that's interested in a career in working for our service department and going visiting customers, fixing machines, where should they send their CVs to their information to?
So they can go on the website. We have a careers page on there. We've got a couple of adverts that we have out there. All the CVs from there then come into myself, and I'll review them with our team here, and then we can go from there. So that's probably the best basis for it.
And I think it's something that we've touched on before in the podcast, and I hear it all the time about the skill shortage. It's interesting to hear that you talk about training our own guys up from, you know, they might not have all the requirements we need, so we do have to fill in some of the bits and pieces with training ourselves, which makes them, you know, experienced on our product, I think. So it's a great thing to be able to do, isn't it? So, you know.
Very much so. We've had, we've spent a lot of time with regards to training. Like I say, the amount of products we have, it's very difficult to get trained across the board and across the whole machine families that we have. So it is something that we've looked at, and everyone's always wanting that, as I call it here, the pink unicorn. The pink unicorn of that engineer that can do everything. We are very fortunate. We've got two or three engineers that are level 5 engineers, which is the highest level, who are extremely good mentors and very willing to train and teach. But with the experience that we've got here at the factory, part of our training plan is that any engineer that comes in will spend a couple of months down here, not only learning about the machines, but learning about us as a company, learning about how do we build machines, what does our stores look like, you know, how do we generate the parts, how do we source the parts. So it is something that we're working very hard on, and trying to bring through that next generation of engineers for us, for sustainability of the company, but also for our customers as well, that we want to make sure that we're constantly fully trained on the new equipment that's coming through.
So we've just launched two new products here at XYZ, the 400 UMC and the KMX 2500. When we have a new product join our portfolio like that, how do you go about getting the engineers on the road up to speed on the technical aspects of the machine and what they might have to do in future years? Obviously, when the machines are new, we do a lot of testing and exercise ourselves, but obviously down the road, we're going to have to think about, we might get, like you say, a modern CNC is a very complicated piece of equipment. So what do you do here in terms of training those guys up and getting them ready for what's going to happen in a good few years' time?
Yeah, so we've, with regards to the 400 UMC, we had the manufacturer come over, and we spent just over a week and a half, a couple of weeks training with them. We've also got we've also got a very good relationship with our manufacturers and our suppliers. We're constantly having technical meetings with them, which the engineers are joining as well. So if they've got any questions, we can refer that straight back to the manufacturer. So we do carry out in-house training with our new machines, and that will be spread across the engineers. And we tend to have our different varied levels of engineers that will accommodate the new training. Rather than try and spread it across everyone, because some people will pick up at different things. So we tend to varies depending on the machine and the complexities of the machine, depends on which engineers we then get trained on. So then they can then pass that information on. We found that's the best way in the past with new machines that have come through. So that tends to be across a period of time. We then train the engineers up, but mostly our level 5 engineers are the ones that go to the newer, higher skilled machines.
And in the last podcast I did with James Shaw talking about quality, I know here at XYZ we've put a massive emphasis on improving quality, and you know, there are now a lot of things in place here at the company that have developed over the years, if you like, to make quality better. So because you deal with machines that have left the factory and gone out into the real world and being used by manufacturing companies, are you seeing benefits of the work that James and his quality team are doing now?
Yeah, huge benefits for us as a service department. So the number of warranty visits and warranty breakdowns is decreasing almost weekly from the work that James is doing. It's also with regards to the information that's being provided. So once we identify something, we can jump straight on it. Whereas before James and his team had this basis, we were finding things, but it was very remote. Now we've got a reporting suite that we can report any case, an incident into. And this helps spread the knowledge across the whole of the field team that we have out there. Mm. It's a really, really good aspect of XYZ now. We're reporting anything that we find, anything that's wrong, which does happen. You know, we know that. We're all in this industry and we know that happens.
Yeah.
But quality is a huge part of XYZ. And for the service department, it does make a huge, huge difference for us.
So, listening to that, I think that analogy that playing as a team has better results than playing as a group of individuals, which, no disrespect to XYZ, maybe because we've morphed into the company we are today, it was a little bit more like individual departments. But I've seen that over the years that, yeah, the company has become more of a team here. Yep. That I know you have management meetings where all the team get together, and that then filters down to the individual departments, and there's more feedback across the whole board, and overall it's giving the customer the better experience when they purchase the machine from us.
Exactly. You know, we have meetings every week between a few of the management team, which is separate to our head of department meetings, but we will discuss any customer issues that we're having. James and his team are involved in that, and also our production and also our application department. So everything customer base and any problems that we're having with any machines that a customer has experienced, that is then discussed on a weekly basis. And also we can then call any of those meetings in an emergency if a customer does have problems, and we can cover all bases then. Mm. So that's all the customer inputs that we can have.
Yeah.
So that's how we can then jump on top of things and help the customers out as quick as we can.
And I also know one of the things that you've had a real push on since you've joined XYZ is getting people to understand how important annual services are. I always find it very, very weird over the years, if you like, that people will buy a very expensive motor car and they'll have it serviced religiously every year on the dot, even before MOTs are due. They'll have it serviced every year. And yet people invest a similar amount of money on a machine tool and not even think about having it serviced. And then in 6 years' time or whatever, ring us up and say, oh, I'm going to cut a circle. It's actually doing an oval. Well, that's because they're removing parts in there and they're wear parts. So what do we do to encourage people to have an annual service? And what are the benefits when they do that?
Yeah, so we've you're exactly right. There is no difference between the two, between a car. You wouldn't run a car for 5 years without servicing it. Probably because it would be beeping at you and screaming at you to say, service me. That might be the difference.
Yeah, yeah.
And our machines don't necessarily do that. But it's the same. But it's the same principles. Moving parts, you're using the machine on a daily basis, the same as you would your car. You're clocking up spindle runtime, the same as you would mileage on a car. So we've looked at this, and in the past, it's been very much a case of, well, as a customer, you tell us if you want the machine serviced, if you don't. We want the customers to be running it as proficiently as they can, as productive as they can. And part of that does come down to the maintenance. Yes, we understand it is a bit annoying to have a machine out of action for servicing, but for the time that it takes to service the machine, you need probably half a breakdown in that time. Machines, you can plan a schedule servicing. You know, you cannot plan a breakdown in. And more often than not, it's going to be at the time when the deadline is due. Your customer's screaming, and you're up against it. You know that's when it's going to happen. So we're actively trying to promote the servicing of machines on a regular basis. We've also come up with a couple of service packages to help the customer out. And this is a trouble-free machining system that we've set up, where for a one-off fee you can have the machine serviced, you can have your warranty on the machine, and also any operator error issues that you have. So if an operator does make a mistake, we will cover that under warranty.
Sounds like we're trying to really look after our customers in a really good way. We're not putting blockages in their road to manufacturing. We're trying to help them to overcome them and be more effective in their their company's business and make them more profitable, I suppose.
Yeah, that's it. And that's a case of, you know, we do understand what the machines are used for. You know, we do understand that the customers are working these machines and that we want them to work them hard. You know, that's what we're about. We take great pride in our machines and how adaptable they are and how reliable they are. So we want you to use them as much as possible, you know, and we want to prolong the life of them. You know, and as I said, we've got 20-year-old machines that we're still looking after. You
and
know,
older, to be fair,
older.
Peter.
Yeah, exactly.
I've visited people that have got machines older than that.
Exactly.
So, you know.
Exactly. And we're still supplying parts for those machines and still working on those machines. So we want it to last as long as possible. So we're going to do our very best to make sure that machine lasts for you.
Yeah.
You know, we don't want it to be a problem.
And how important do you think it is that it's actually our guys that go to do the service and repair work? The reason I ask that, I've been having a play with AI recently and typing a few bits and pieces in, and yes, I've generated myself as a 3-year-old telling people how fantastic the podcasts are, and as an 80-year-old saying it's took its toll on me doing these podcasts. But I also typed in things about machines, how easy it to adjust gibs and things like that. And it's becoming more and more out there in the real world that AI is there to help people, but people are still better off using our technology and our skill levels, if you like, to come and service your machine, I believe.
Yeah, so it's an interesting one. Like I say, from AI, yes, you can do everything on AI, can't you? You can watch a video and learn how to renovate your house.
Yeah, yeah.
All the skills side of things. When it comes to machine tools, there is nothing better than the feel of how a machine works. You know, our engineers will know the feel of it. Adjusting gibs. Is there a set tolerance?
Yeah, that's
no, there's not a set tolerance. You have to get that feel for it.
Absolutely.
That engineer will take a number of years to get that feel for how those gibs should be adjusted, depending on what the customer's doing.
Mm.
You know, there's no set tolerance to that. So that is one of the benefits of using us. We do have the 40 years worth of experience on these machines. We know how they work. As you mentioned before, the work that James is doing within the quality side of things, there's an awful lot of work we're doing where we're enhancing and adapting and modifying pre-existing machines to make them better. There might be some modified parts that we now fit. So there's an awful lot of things that we can do as a manufacturer on the machines where we've got that knowledge. And you know, we do spend, as I said before, we do spend an awful lot of time and money and effort researching and spending time on our machines with our manufacturers, with our suppliers, and we're constantly trying to make the best of those machines. So we've got that knowledge, as I said, with the engineers that are out there, an awful lot of time is spent on their training to give you the best possible service.
Yeah. And I think this industry has been through a bit of a roller coaster in the last, well, since COVID really. I think we've manufacturing's really, really struggled to get over that and get past that. So from your side of the fence, if you like, have manufacturers really got that message that looking after their machine and servicing the machine pays dividends in the long term, so that their machines keep running? Yes, we'd love to sell new machines, but when people make an investment in a machine tool like they do, you know, you expect it to run for a good few years. You know, it's not something for the short term, is it?
Yeah.
And so are people really, and I suppose the other worry is that there's a budget coming up very, very shortly.
Yeah.
You know, we're all, I won't use the word panicking, but we're all cautious to know what's going to happen. And because of that cautiousness in the market, we've seen a bit of an up and a down and up and down over the months of machine tool sales, of new machines. Has it been able to support our customers, I suppose is the question I'm asking, being able to support them in the way we do, keep the machines running for a longevity? Do we provide that confidence that it doesn't matter which government's in power and what they do, we're here to support them and keep their manufacturing going to the best ability that they can?
I think uncertainty is the word, isn't it? So across the industry, nobody quite knows what's going to happen.
No.
Without getting too political, we never know what's going to happen, who's going to be in charge, or what they're going to say, no matter what they previously have said. So for us as a service department, we are seeing that an awful lot of customers are maintaining machines a bit more now. Whereas in the past, we've not seen that. It's, do you know what? Business is going really well. We're going to invest. people have held back now a little bit from what we're seeing. So they are starting to look after their machines a bit more. They are looking to get a lot more out of the machines than they probably used to.
Mm.
We've got an awful lot of work that we are doing here to maximise the, as I said, the productivity of those machines. So yeah, it's an interesting one. We are seeing previously that customers are now maintaining the machine more and wanting the machine to live longer, if you like, because of that uncertainty.
Yeah.
So yeah, for us, it's something that we, as I said before, we want to have machines out there for as long as possible working. So yeah, we are tending to see that.
Yeah, I think that's a great message for potential customers of XYZ, that, you know, yes, purchasing capital equipment is a major investment, and we want to make sure that people get return on that investment. Yeah. And so when that time does come that machine needs replacing, the experience they've had dealing with XYZ has been a great one, and they'll come back and invest again in either the same type of product or even move up the game a little bit and start employing things like automation with their machine
exactly.
to make them more efficient and stuff like that. So it's been great talking to you, Peter. I think it's been an interesting insight into how the support of our customers is there, the things that we're doing to make their experience even better. So what's your next big plan in service then? Now the portal's up and running, what's your next big plan?
Okay, so we've got a couple of projects on the go at the moment. We've got, as I say, the portal is up and running. We're going to try and get that out there as much as possible. We want as many customers to be on that as possible. Our next stage is then looking at from the sale onwards, you know, from the sale to the first service. What does that look like from a customer service point of view? So that's one of our next big projects.
Mm-hmm.
Also, as we said before, expanding the team. And gaining knowledge. We've got some really exciting products coming out, which will keep us busy. Hopefully, we'll be selling quite a few of those. Certainly hope we do.
Well, we've got orders for 400 UMCs
exactly.
already, so
we've
you know.
We've got quite a few coming in, so that's going to keep us busy.
Yeah.
Continuous improvement is vital.
And
looking at how we carry out our process. It's something that we review on a monthly basis, how the service department is operating. And how it's working, so we continue trying to improve what we can offer our customers.
Great. So we hope you found this chat with Peter interesting, and you've now been able to put a face to a name if you've spoke to Peter on the phone or any of his team. A couple of bits to finish off then. We've talked about the portal a fair bit today. We think it's important that people get on board with the portal. We think it'll help you to get a quicker response from us and support you better. So if you need to get access to that portal, like Peter says, either email us, service@xyzmachinetools.com. We'll respond to that and get you on the portal, or just make a call into our service department on 01823 674200. And then option one is the option to get to you guys. Yeah, it's most important service, number one. So that's something that you can do to be able to benefit from that portal that we're now offering. So thanks for your time today, Peter.
Thank you, Robert. It's been really good.
We hope you've enjoyed listening or watching to this podcast. And as I said at the beginning, don't forget to subscribe or like to us. And we also have our own email address for the podcast. So if you've got any topics that you'd like us to discuss during the podcast and want us to talk about, podcast@xyzmachinetools.com is where you can get hold of me and the team here so we can talk about the topics that you want to talk about. So until the next time, thanks for listening or watching, and we'll look forward to the pre-Christmas edition.